Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the phone with me for this segment, I have Lauren Dickinson. He's the director of the Beaumont Library District, and they've got some very interesting historical artifacts on that they have at the library. We're going to be talking about that. So thank you very much for joining me today, Lauren. Really appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure, Stephen.
Now, first of all, give us a little bit of a historical background behind the Beaumont Library. It's a very interesting library.
Yes, the Beaumont Library is one of the oldest public institutions in the Pass area. Only the schools are older. We date back to 1911 when the library district was first formed. We're a special district library, one of only a dozen in the whole state, with an elected board of trustees. And we're separate from city and county government. And we've had the same building location since 1914 when Andrew Carnegie donated funds to the library to build a building. And since 1914, we've been on the same site at 8th and California. And we are the only remaining Carnegie Library still operating in Riverside County.
Very good. Now, I understand that the Beaumont Library has some very interesting, I guess you'd say, artifacts or significant things that you have, one of them being a very old Bible. Tell us about that.
Well, I took over as director about a year and a half ago, and one of the things I discovered in going through the file cabinets in the director's office was a Bible that was published in 1610. It was actually published the year before the King James Version was even created, and at a time even before the Pilgrims had landed in America.
Wow, so that makes that Bible like over 400 years old. How valuable is that Bible to the library?
Well, it's valuable, I think, as a curiosity more than anything, because of the fact that it's missing the front cover. So it's a leather-bound volume, and it's also missing the first several chapters of the book of Genesis. But other than that, it's intact. The only value it might have is if certain pages were separated and sold separately, but we don't intend to do anything like that. But we wonder whether there's a connection to the settlement of this area, because there's a pencil calculation from the 1880s subtracting the year 1610 to show that the item was 272 years old at that time of the calculation, and now it's worth it's well over 400 years old. So it is quite an item, and we would love to know more about it.
So you really don't know a whole lot about it. You don't know how the library came into possession of the Bible?
Exactly. Other than that pencil written calculation from the 1880s, the only other clues we have are some really almost ancient quill and pen ink inscriptions toward the end of the book, and one of them mentions the name of a Mrs. Mitchell, and it almost it's hard to decipher exactly what it says, but it appears to say that this Mrs. Mitchell landed in a certain location that had to be either in England or Wales, and it appears to have the date of 1608, as if that person acquired the Bible when it was new in 1610 and then recorded some arrival that might have happened a couple of years before that. But then how did it get from England all the way over here to North America and then all the way to the West Coast by the 1880s? That is quite a mystery.
Right. Now, you believe that the Bible came with early settlers through this area. Do you have any indications of how that happened?
No, but we do know that one of the early settlers was a Mr. Stewart, and his daughter, Laura May Stewart, was quite a philanthropist, ended up with most of the estate from the family, and created a foundation in her own name. She's long deceased, but there is the Laura May Stewart Foundation, which actually gave money to the library in the 1980s almost 100 years after the inscription in that Bible, by the way. But she gave money to the library in the early 1980s to build our meeting room. And so the current meeting room we have is actually called the Laura May Stewart Community Room. And I often wondered whether there was any connection between the Stewart family and this Mrs. Mitchell that was written into the Bible. But to this time, we have not been able to find any connection at all. But we do know that the Stewarts settled in the area around that time, so there may have been another family, maybe that doesn't live here anymore, that might have been connected to the Bible itself.
Now, is the Bible ever on display? And if not, how can someone actually see it, or do you let the public see it at all?
It would have to be by private appointment only, and at this stage, we do not have a location where we can properly display it. We have long-term plans for renovating and expanding the building, and part of the plans include a local history room, which would be the original librarian's office in the Carnegie Building. Currently now it's the children's librarian's office, but that would become the local history room, and in the new renovated building, we would have the proper lighting and humidity and temperature controls to be able to house and display such a valuable item.
What kind of condition is the Bible in right now?
It's pretty well tattered. As I said, it's missing the front cover, and a lot of the pages are brittle. If you can think of when you see yellowed newspaper, the paper, although it's a better quality than old newsprint, but it looks like that type of color. The back binding plate is still in place, as well as the side binding, but the front cover is missing, and some of the pages are starting to really weather and crumble at the edge. So that's why we would keep it under close watch, no matter what we do with it.
Now, how are you protecting it?
We're keeping it in a filing cabinet that's locked away. It's by itself in one of the offices here, and it's not ideal, but I think it's better than keeping it exposed to the sunlight.
Right. Now, shifting gears a little bit, you also have another piece of interesting, interesting artifact. It's a bayonet from the Franco-Prussian War. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's another thing I discovered in searching through the office on a bookshelf. I found this, what appeared to be a bayonet, and actually it has a scabbard that is covering the bayonet itself, and you can actually pull it out. It's almost like a sword-like device. And in researching that item, we found out that it dated back to a time period just before the Franco-Prussian War, back in the 1870s. And it was actually something we could find online. You can find the exact same type of bayonet. It was apparently heavily used by the French Army from about the 1870s, 1880s, all the way up until World War I, and in some cases even until World War II.
Now, how did you guys come about that? Do you know where it came from?
Absolutely no idea. But here again, it kind of ties into that early 1880s period where apparently the Bible was donated to the library. And so it makes us wonder whether or not somebody came across this from the same group that may have donated the Bible. It's really interesting to be able to see something like this that is so historic, but is found in such an odd location that wouldn't be expected.
Right. Do you think that other libraries could have rare gems hiding in their collections?
Yes, it's very interesting. The most recent incident I've heard of a library discovering something was a library in England, which actually had one of the original copies of the Declaration of Independence that they discovered in a file that had probably been filed away for 100 years or more. And that's an extremely valuable document because it was an original.
I imagine that if anyone has any information about how that Bible or how the bayonet got to the Beaumont Library, I'm sure you would welcome that information.
Yes, especially if anybody knows anything about a Mrs. Mitchell that might have had a descendant that came to this area that might have been connected to England, and a 400-plus-year-old Bible. And it is a Geneva Bible, interestingly, too, and it's the same type of Bible that the Pilgrims brought to Plymouth, Massachusetts, when they came to settle in North America. So it was the Bible of its time. It was the most popular version of the Bible, and even was more popular than the King James at the time.
Okay, now before we close, is there anything you'd like to add that people should know about the Beaumont Library?
Just that we have a wide variety of programs for adults and children. We have quite a preschool program, and we're doing a lot of innovative things. We just subscribed to the Ancestry database. We're going to be doing a series of programs related to genealogy starting in September and in October. And we also have a new program called Zip Books. If you can't find the item in our collection, we will order the book for you and send it to you through Amazon. It'll be checked out to you just like a regular library book, and when you're done with it, you return it, and we put it in the collection. And if you can't make it to the library but you have a card, you can have access to our OverDrive e-books, which are compatible with the Kindle e-readers, and we have a wide assortment of materials now available in e-book form.
Do you have a website where people can go?
Yes, we do. And you don't even need to use www. It starts out at bld.lib.ca.us. So that's our initials, Beaumont Library District, bld.lib.ca.us.
Okay, Loren Dickinson, Director of the Beaumont Library District. Thanks once again for joining us today, Loren.
We appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.